Welcome back, dear friend. Psalm 139 is about being known, the sort of knowing that's at the core of our deepest relationships. Now, this psalm is about how God knows you. Ever wonder about that? Just how well does God know me? It's also one of the most beloved passages in the whole Bible. David wrote it, and we begin at verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. One of our deepest human desires is to be known as we are. Suppose someone loves you very well, but doesn't know you at all. That's a really nice person, but not really a friend. But to be known and loved, that takes a true friend. David has just been hit with the wonderful and fearful reality that God really knows him. You perceive my thoughts, Lord. Stand up, sit down, go out, lie down. You know it all. Now, the language here is familiar. If you grew up Jewish, you recognize it well. The Shema of Deuteronomy 6 calls all Israelites to remember and talk about God's commandments when they sit down, when they sit at home, walk along, get up, or lie down. Keep God on your mind. What just hit David is that amazing truth that God keeps you on his mind even more. You know that feeling when you realize someone's been thinking about you? A postcard, a nice comment. This is like that, but so much bigger. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. David is wowed beyond words now. I mean, sure, God knows everything, but to wrap your mind around just how much the creator of the whole universe knows me, come on. It's a lot of wonderful and a little crazy. So in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Being known like that can freak you out a little. There's an instinct to run. These verses read like the mind of someone looking this way and that for somewhere to hide, somewhere alone. Where to? Think. Sky? Nope. Deep sea? Still no. Somewhere far. Verse 9. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. It strikes me that even as David imagines running away from God, he uses language of God guiding him and holding him. Not only God's presence, but God's guidance will not leave him. David finds no escape, up, down, or far away. So he turns to the trustiest of all hiding places, darkness. Whether it's hide and seek or trying to cover your sin, nothing conceals like darkness. But in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Now there's a reality to grapple with. For God, the night shines like daylight. Darkness is light for him. He sees all. So David gives up his hide-and-seek folly. He's found. He's known. And in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now this is a passage better pondered than explained. He created the inmost part of me, my being, soul, spirit. I don't know how it all works, but I know that he made it. He made me. And for David, the reality that he's talking to the one who made him is just staggering. You knit me together. Now, this next passage is just phenomenal. And to read this properly, you have to approach it with a deep sense of wonder, like a kid watching fireworks, like an astronaut looking back at planet Earth. Be that kid, jaw dropped, eyes wide, and nearly falling over in amazement, and read with me. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Fearfully made. The word fearful can mean awestruck or terrified or both. Your being dwells in a machine so mind-bogglingly complex and so fantastically genius in design, nothing in the universe comes close. And unlike any other machine, man-made or living, you were made to wonder at creation, to wonder at your own design. Every cell in your body is more complex than the space station, and you have some 30 trillion of them working together to accomplish the most spectacular feats imaginable, every second right inside you. And perhaps the most wondrous part of all that is the realization that you are made. You have a maker, and he is awesome beyond all comprehension. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. He's talking about the womb, and the sequence of events that took place there to make you is just mind-melting. Have you ever watched a time-lapse video of construction for something huge, like a rocket? That one, I can explain. This one, I just stand in awe. See, your mom's DNA has 6 billion nucleotide pairs, a multi-layered machine code that describes everything from her blood cells to her immune system to her brain function to her personality. Your dad's DNA has a different set of 6 billion nucleotide pairs. Now imagine taking two design manuals, each one 6 billion words long in a multi-layered code language, and just mashing them together by accident. But it's no accident. And wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, out came your DNA, because you are no accident. And that was literally step one. That was the spark that lit the fuse on a building process like nothing you've ever imagined. It's amazing. You're amazing. In verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Now, the Hebrew there could refer to all God's thoughts, mind-boggling, or more specifically, to all his thoughts about you. How amazing are your thoughts concerning me? Wow. And that's what the psalm is about. God knows me. He thinks about me. Verse 18, were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now pay attention. Verse 19, if only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. Seriously, I kind of wonder if David was sitting out in a field writing this glorious psalm when some jerkweed snuck up and kicked him, grabbed his little poem and threw it in the mud. David picks it up, cleans it off, and writes this verse next. Slay the wicked, Lord, away from me, bloodthirsty. Maybe the realization prompted confession. God, I know you know everything, so I'm just going to spill it. This is me. I know you made me wonderfully, but this is how I feel toward the wicked. They speak evil of you, Lord, and I can't pretend I like them. They hate you, so I hate them. In verse 22, I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Now remember, the Psalms are like emotions. They're real and honest, but that doesn't mean they're right. It's still the Word of God, but here it is God's Word capturing man's feeling. Jesus clearly teaches us to love our enemies, and God loved us even when we were in rebellion against him. But David sees the wicked and feels hate, and he confesses it openly to God. But then he catches himself. Verse 23, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." So we end where we began. David knows that God knows him already, but now he opens up. "Here's my heart, Lord, permission to board. It's going to be messy, but you can handle it. I trust you. And while you're in there, Lord," verse 24, "see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Read Psalm 139. Stand in wonder and know that you are known and you are loved.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.